look at it in verse number 6. Jump down to verse number 6. It's the same word that is translated. Notice this. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great. It's the same word as translated great here. So, and then it says, and as the voice of many. So, you say, what's the definition of much? Great. Many. More than one. More than 10,000. Probably more than 10 billion. You notice back up in verse number 1, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people. Where? In heaven. Notice what they're saying. Hallelujah. And you notice hallelujah is spread throughout this text. 4 times in these 6 verses, you see the word hallelujah, and then you get an amen in there. Can I tell you something? This is just an indication of the praise that will be promoted in heaven. And this is just boiling out of the mouths and the hearts and the souls of God's people because they're watching God work. And it says, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power. Where? Where? Unto one person. Not unto us. Not unto man. Unto our Lord. Unto the Lord our God. Oh, may we direct our praise to our Heavenly Father, to our great Savior, Jesus. So, 3 thoughts. Let me give them to you. Verse number 1. Well, I'll read the rest of them in a moment. Verse number 1, we see this. If you're writing notes down, we will praise God for who He is. Can I tell you something? It's always good just to praise God for who He is. You say, I don't have anything to praise God for. I don't know if there's, I'm just so sad. But just stop and just praise God for who He is. Listen, you say, well, I don't really know who He is. You're introduced to Him throughout the Scriptures. If we really know Him, if we've really been introduced to Him, if we've really become intimate with Him, it'll be easy to praise Him. Say, what do I praise Him for? Once you praise Him for the same thing they praise Him for, salvation. Just start right there. Amen. And if you get beyond that, there's a lot of others. But I'm going to tell you something. If you really praised Him for salvation, you'll just hang up there for a little while. Salvation and then glory and honor. You see these things. And you say, well, I get past it. How about power? Man, God has such great power in every area of our life. Hallelujah. The word hallelujah carries with it this thought. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our praise. Salvation. He provides forgiveness and eternal life. We were but sinners bound for hell, and His love reached out to us where we were. That's something to praise Him for. Not so that before we came to salvation, we had to get better. No, He met us right where we were before we ever became good. He changed our lives. He loved us just as I am or just as I was. That's what salvation is worthy of praise. His grace made our salvation possible. All of the saints of the ages will be praising Him. All the saints of the ages past will be there. All of the resurrected and raptured saints will be here. And notice what they're saying. Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Millions have believed on these truths in spite of the cost. Brother Wendell's listening to a book right now. I've been listening to Randy Alcorn lately. And Randy Alcorn's got some great books. One of the books he's written is a fiction book, and it's entitled Safely Home. Just fiction, but it will stir your faith. I'm not going to give the message away. You got to get it. It's free on Hoopla. All right? You say, well, I can't afford it, or I'm too cheap to buy a book. Well, get it free on Hoopla, all right? That's a library app, and you pay property taxes. Even if you don't, you're welcome, all right? And so you can go ahead and get it. And so get that and listen to it. It'll stir you. It really will. It is a great picture of servanthood and servanthood. You know, we have a lot to praise God for. There are millions around the globe tonight that are serving Him in spite of the cost. Now, we're talking about real cost. It's costing their lives. It's costing their freedom. Costing everything. But heaven will be a happy, praising place. There may be struggle and troubles here, but man, can you imagine? Think with me for a moment. How it is whenever God's people get together and they begin to praise Him here on this earth, and that's suppressed by sin and the bitterness and the battle that we're going through. Can you imagine in heaven whenever we're unleashed out from underneath the chains of sin. Can you imagine with I can't. I've been in some places and I've been in some times in my life where I have felt like I was in the very presence of God and I praised Him and I worshiped Him and what a great time that was. Well, my friend, that is nothing compared to what it's going to be like in heaven. Because in heaven, I won't have the weight of sin. I won't have all the things here. I will be totally and completely free for the first time in my creation to worship my Creator in the way that I was designed to. Notice, my friend, we will praise God for who He is. And He is the great and mighty God. We'll praise Him for salvation. We'll praise Him for honor and glory. He lifts sinners from their shame. He gives honor to the dishonorable. He shares His glory with those who have none. He makes fallen sinners citizens of a place called heaven. And then power, His power, the power of the gospel, the power to move mountains on our behalf, the power to perform miracles, the power to answer prayer, all kinds of things. Power, power. So we see this. We will praise God for who He is. Number two, let's read verses 2-5. Notice what they say. They say, salvation, glory, and honor, and power unto the Lord our God. Notice, for true and righteous are His judgments. Boy, that will be a relief right there, won't it? Just to be in a place where the judgments are true and righteous. And it says, for you judge the great whore. The great whore, at this point in the book of the Revelation, the great whore is that great religious core. Essentially, it'll be made up of the Roman Catholic Church as it is today, becoming much more powerful, and its tenets and many of the Protestant groups will come back in underneath its auspices. In fact, we're seeing that today as everybody's acquiescing, and there's been a journey back to Rome through all these years, and this is the Roman Empire, if you will, the religious empire, the city set on seven hills, and all of those things. But there's coming a day whenever God is going to judge the religious system of this world, and He's going to completely destroy it. Everything that is not of Jesus is going to be destroyed. And all God's people said, I'm going to tell you something. All Islam and all the rest of this old garbage, all these people that want to make fun of Christianity and talk about it and say, well, you guys aren't accepting of anything. My friend, listen, it's not our choice. That was God's choice. We're just simply obeying the Word of God. But we will begin to praise Him, not only for who He is, but as we get into verses 2-5, we see that we will praise Him for what He has done. For what He has done. Now see, the picture is in heaven. May I say this? You and I can praise Him today for these very same things. Notice, what else? It talks about that great whore, that corrupt religious system. By the way, Christianity is not about religion. It's about a relationship. And it's a relationship with a man by the name of Jesus Christ. And it says, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. No system has ever killed more people than religion has. Organized religion. Even around the world today, they're killing Christians, murdering them for their faith, usually under the name of religion. Notice in verse number 3, and again they say, Alleluia. You know what they're saying? He's worthy of praise. Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever, ever, forever and ever. And the 24 elders, these are representatives. First, there's 12 of these elders that are representatives of the 12 tribes of Israel. Don't tell me for a moment that the nation of Israel is not special in the eyes of God even to this day. You keep your eye on Israel if you want to know what God's doing. Still special. Now, those people need to be born again just like the rest of us. Amen? But 12 of those, what did I just say? The word? I don't want to get it wrong. Elders. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. I lost my train of thought. And my mind is like a one-track train. When it gets off, that's it. So 12 of the 24 elders, 12 of them are representatives of the 12 tribes of Israel, and then 12 of them are representatives, actually, the names of the 12 apostles, which are representatives of us today. So you have those 24 elders and four beasts. May I say something? The angels get in on this. The creatures of God, the creatures of heaven, those created beings, they get in on this praise. I want to tell you something. Praise is infectious. Praise will infect other people. At praise, it can spread much faster than the COVID virus if we just let it. But we don't. Honestly, you get around a prisoner, a Christian that is praising, and it'll be amazing before long how all of a sudden you'll be stirred up to praise God. They fell down and they worship God that sat on the throne. Now they add a word here. Amen. That's a good Baptist word. Amen. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. So be it. And a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." So we will praise God for what he's done. God always does what is right. We see it in verse number 2. It says, "For true and righteous are his judgments." A.W. Tozer said this, "God always acts as becomes him." God always acts as become him. You know, if you ever met someone that they're maybe a gentleman, a southern gentleman, or, you know, I don't know any of the other phrases, but I know some men that are southern gentlemen. I think Dr. Clarence Sexton is one that we would call a southern, and he always acts in that role as becomes him. God always acts as becomes him. And you begin to think, well, how does God act? We just read about some of his characteristics, parts of his nature. He's always holy. He's always righteous. He's always true. He's always kind. He's always true. The character of God assures us he will always act justly. God has judged this corrupt tribulation religious system. And I want you to note this. God has always been busy putting down evil in the history of mankind. He lets evil rise to a certain level sometimes. But that's about it. And then he starts putting it down. Recently, I read a book called The Auschwitz Escape, and it was dealing with some of the Jews that were put in the concentration camps by Hitler. Oh, just horrible what a human being is capable of doing to another human being. And the hatred. But the hatred for God's people is like that. The devil, you could see as I listened to that book, you could see the satanic forces behind that hatred for the people of God. But God will put down that evil one time, one day, forever. And we won't have to worry about it anymore. He's just true and righteous are his judgments. Saints in heaven praise God for his righteous acts. Justice must always prevail. And the reason why is because we have a sovereign God that must always prevail. Jesus, as I think about true and righteous are his judgments, this is the part that I didn't flesh out enough, and I really probably should have stopped and thought about this a little bit more, but here's the truth. Jesus took our judgment on the cross. What true and righteous judgment. The judgment of God demanded a penalty or a price be paid for sin. Because of God's holiness, a penalty, a price had to be paid for our sins. You and I are not capable of paying it. So Jesus stepped in and paid that penalty. See, God could not just open it up and say, "Well, you know what? I've changed my mind. Everybody gets to go to heaven." He couldn't. Why? Because his righteous character, his holy character, demanded that a price or a penalty be paid for sin. True and righteous are his judgments. So we will praise the Lord for who he is. We'll praise him for what he has done. And then number 3, we'll praise him for what he's going to do. What he's going to do. Look at it, verse number 6 with me. It says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude." That word "great" again. You say, what does the word "great" mean? Much? Many? More than one. "And as the voice of many waters." You know, how many of you remember years ago the tsunamis that hit in several places? You remember? How many of you ever watched any of those things on YouTube? Those videos? And it's amazing how devastating water can be. And I've watched those, and one of the things that struck me is after you get past the screams of the people and all, is the sound of the water as it just keeps pushing in and pushing in. And I think of that whenever I think here, the voice of many waters. We were at Niagara Falls years ago. Remember, we took that little boat down in the bottom. It was a big boat, but underneath those falls, it felt like a little bitty boat. We took that, and you couldn't talk. Honestly, it's a great place for marriages. It couldn't call, but it was so loud. The voice of many waters. It was loud, but it was so awesome, and it was so beautiful. And all it was a bunch of water falling over rocks. Imagine heaven, the voice of many waters. It says here, and as the voice of mighty thunders. And then last little phrase, it says, hallelujah. He's worthy of praise. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. My friend, can I tell you, there's coming a day whenever He is going to completely reign over everything. Completely. I know He does today, but He still gives a little bit of leeway to the devil and all that. But there's coming a day when all that's going to be wiped away. And all we're going to know is God, and all we're going to know is goodness. I cannot even begin to imagine of a place without sin. Me and Daniel were talking this morning at the back door. We were talking about heaven, and I asked him, I said, Daniel, I said, can you imagine having a conversation with another person in heaven and there being no sin involved in it? Not having to worry what that person really meant by what they're saying. Can you imagine the honest conversations that we can have without those things behind it? There's something else here that I see. If you read through this passage, and, well, let me read verse number 6 again and note this. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah. One of the writers I read after said this. This right here is a unanimous hallelujah. Everybody gets in on this one right here. Before, we had the people in it. Then we had the 24 elders and the four beasts. But now it's like everybody joins together and says, that's it. We want to praise Him for what He is going to do. All nature gets into this. God will carry out His plan for the future. And here's something that I see in this verse. We can rest on God's promises for all of our tomorrows. As here's what it says. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thunderings. Note, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let me ask you, is your heart filled with praise? If not, maybe we need to go back to just stop and pause and think about that salvation time and that glory of God, the honor that He has, and maybe the power, maybe some of the answers to prayer that He's done in your life. He is worthy of our praise. Are we praising God daily? If not, you're going to be ill-prepared for heaven. You might as well get used to it now, because it's going to be part of the heavenly lifestyle of simply praising God. And then, note verse number 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Are you ready for Him? Are you ready for heaven? Are you saved? Absolutely, preacher, I'm saved. That's great. Are you living like you're saved? Are you praising Him? Have you kind of let that slip in your lifestyle? If you have, let's get that back. All right, I'm done for tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's close out with a couple thoughts today. Maybe we need to ask the Lord, so Lord, help me praise You.